Hey, how about it, race fans? It's Richard Allen of InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com, and I'm coming at you again with another edition of the Weekend Podium. Weekend Podium is something I try to post every Sunday evening, in which I give my account of what I consider to be the top three racing stories of the past weekend. As always, you are welcome to hit me up on Twitter at Richard Allen IDR and agree or disagree with me, whatever you like, or look at our InsideDirtRacing.com Facebook page, and you can also share your thoughts there. Those would always be appreciated. I appreciate you taking the time to give this a listen. And as always, appreciate you taking the time to check out the content that we post regularly on InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com. So thank you for that. It does not go unnoticed, and it does not go unappreciated. All right, so let's see what I think of. What I think the biggest three stories of the weekend were, and then see what you think. I'm going first with Hudson O'Neill. Hudson O'Neill picked up a Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series win up at the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Motor Speedway this past weekend on Saturday night. Got the Pittsburgh 100, which pays $20,000 to win. But and I guess before we go any further, we should mention, you know, what a great season Hudson's having since he joined up with Roger Sellers and Double Down Motorsports. They've really hit it off. They, you know, won the Show Me 100 and now added this race to it, as well as picking up some other really nice wins too. So Hudson O'Neill certainly living up to the expectations that many people have had for him for several years now that he's in this really good situation. But it's not just the win that I wanted to talk about. There were several factors that went into it that made this a really newsworthy story. For one, I mean, what a comeback he made. He wound up starting 17th in the feature, which even in 100-lap races, you don't often hear of guys starting that far back. I know Mike Marler won the Knoxville Nationals from way back in the field, and now Hudson O'Neill did too. I guess those two guys have proven that you can start in the back, especially in those 100-lappers. But still, even with that, it's not something you hear of that often. I mean, he had to come out of a B main. But more than that, at one point during the race, he actually found himself getting lapped. Now, this race had a lap 50 planned fuel stop that was going to take place because the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Motor Speedway is like Knoxville. It's a big half mile, which means it's actually a little over a half mile. And they've seen races where guys have run out of fuel in the last few laps up there before. So to prevent that from happening, they planned a lap 50 fuel stop. So right before that fuel stop, he was passed. O'Neill was passed by then leader Earl Pearson Jr. and lost the lap. Of course, the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series employs a lucky dog thing where they allow the first car one lap down to get his lap back whenever a caution comes out. There was a little bit of controversy there because Earl Pearson crossed the finish line and recorded his 50th lap, and they had announced ahead of time that lap 50 would be the end. The officials kept the green flag out until everybody had completed their 50th lap. Well, in the meantime, as the cars continued around the track, Pearson passed Ricky Thornton Jr. to seemingly put him a lap down. But in reality, that wasn't actually the case. The second that Earl Pearson crossed the finish line, his 50th lap was complete. Thus, he was done with those 50 laps. So what he did after that point really didn't matter. So Thornton actually finished the 50-lap segment on the lead lap, which then left Hudson O'Neill as the first car one lap down. So he was awarded the lucky dog and got his lap back. So everybody comes in and pits, adds fuel and that so that they're ready for the second half of the run of the race. And then just a very few laps into that second run, there was another caution, at which point O'Neill came in. If O'Neill had worked on his car, if the crew had worked on the car during the fuel stop, anything other than putting fuel in it, they would have lost the lucky dog privilege. So they couldn't do anything other than a fuel stop, and if the driver wanted a new helmet with new tear-offs, they were allowed to do that. But other than that, no tire changes, nothing, you know, nothing of that nature. When that caution came out just after the restart from lap 50, O'Neill did come in to the pits at that point. They did not change tires. Initially reported on the TV broadcast, they changed tires, but in actuality, they just took the tire off and made an adjustment to the shock, the right rear shock, and then just put the same tire back on, which they could have changed the tire, but they, you know, obviously wanted to keep a new tire around handy in case they were to need it later. So anyway, he goes back out with that shock adjustment, and that car just really came to life. He got down on the bottom of the track where very few other people were running and just started mowing the field down, and ultimately passed his way all the way back up to second place. They just passed the 10 to go mark, and he had tracked down Earl Pearson Jr., who was still leading at that time, and then got around him, I believe, with seven laps to go, and held on for the win. So like I said, another big win for O'Neill and for Double Down Motorsports. So that was interesting to see. But it, like I said, just the fact that he won wasn't the only big story there. There was so much to it. His great comeback, a little bit of misunderstanding over the whole lucky dog thing, and then that shock adjustment the crew made that just really brought that car to life. So that's my number one story, all of those factors combined together. Then number two, seems like this guy comes up an awful lot in these top three race stories, but is Brandon Overton just going to keep winning forever? I mean, this weekend he added two more wins to his already almost unbelievable total. I think that brought him to 28 wins this season. He won the World of Outlaw Morton Building Late Model Series feature race over at the Cherokee Speedway in Gaffney, South Carolina. Made a brilliant outside pass there to do that. Dalton Wilson had led more than half the race, and Overton and Brandon Shepard actually got up on the top and kind of started blowing the top lane off, and finally that paid off for them as both of them were able to get around Wilson eventually and then go on to finish first and second. But Overton, he's just unbeatable. At Cherokee, he's won the last four consecutive World of Outlaw Late Model Series sanctioned races at that track. So he's definitely got that place figured out for sure. Then he comes over to 411 Motor Speedway, where they had 5,000 to win Tennessee State Championship. Took the lead early on, passed by Corey Hedgecock, which, as everybody knows who follows racing in this area, Corey Hedgecock's always tough to beat at 411, but Overton was able to get around him. As a very daring three-wide pass that he made as Hedgecock was passing by one of the slower cars. Overton just used his momentum coming off turn two and went three wide down the back straight and was able to get the lead from there, and then just sailed on to victory in that race. So like I said, picked up $5,000 there. But the real story with Overton is how many big races he's won, these six-digit wins that he's picked up, and high five-digit win races that he's won. And if you look at the schedule, even though we're in October now, there's still several more of those to go coming up here just this week on Friday. Got the return of the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series to Smoky Mountain Speedway in Maryville, Tennessee. That race was weathered out back earlier in the year when it was supposed to have been run. So it's been rescheduled as part of a three-race weekend for Lucas Oils. They'll go down to Georgia for the Dixie Speedway and the Rome Speedway at the end of the weekend as Lucas is really starting to wind it down. So, but that's $20,000 on the line, and certainly Overton will be counted among the favorites there. There's also the $20,000 to win Castrol Flow Racing Night in America race at 411 Motor Speedway here in East Tennessee again on October the 12th. So you would think after such a strong run that he turned in on Saturday night in the Tennessee State Championship that Overton will certainly come in as a favorite at that race too. But even still beyond that, as the year starts to wind down, there's some really big paying races still out there to be taken advantage of. They got the Dirt Track World Championship up at Portsmouth in Ohio, which will conclude the Lucas Oil Series season. And then there's also some really big races, Sonoma Raceway in Georgia, out at the dirt track near Las Vegas Motor Speedway, also paying off big. So if Overton chooses to go to those races, you would certainly think that those will be prime opportunities for him collecting more big paydays, as if he hasn't had enough already this year. But I consider Brandon Overton's success from the weekend to be the second biggest story. And then the third biggest story is not a guy who won, but a guy who I've previously mentioned here already is who it's really good to see running back up near the front, and that's Earl Pearson Jr. Since he joined up with Jason Papich and his team, Earl has really, been rejuvenated, it looks like. He's elevated his game greatly since then. And as we said before, he led, I believe, 93 laps of the Pittsburgher 100. He looked like the Earl Pearson Jr. that we all remember from several years ago when he won four Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series championships. He's had other strong runs as well in that car, in a number 46, which I believe was his dad's old number. We've grown used to seeing him in a car number one for several years, and then he was number 44 back when he was the original Longhorn chassis house car driver, back when the Labonte's first started that operation. Now he's back in a Longhorn and really clicking now. So it's nice to see Earl doing so well. So I consider Earl Pearson's recent rejuvenation to be the third biggest story. So Hudson O'Neill and all that he had to overcome at the Pittsburgher 100, Brandon Overton picking up two more wins over the weekend, and Earl Pearson really running well. Those are my top three stories of the weekend. But there'll be more big stories in dirt racing, so I hope you'll be checking out InsideDirtRacing.com, and also check out our commentary on InsideCircleTrack.com about NASCAR and the pavement world that we post on there from time to time. So I appreciate you checking all those out. I appreciate you taking the time to listen. But that's it for this week's edition of the Weekend Podium. Check us out. Check me out on Twitter at Richard Allen IDR. Also on Instagram with that same name, at Richard Allen IDR. And of course, the InsideDirtRacing.com Facebook page as well. Hope you have a great week, and I hope to see you at the track in the very near future.